the author preach in some other language, and then the amanuensis, or the ghostwriter, as I call it, added in the rhetoric and the grammar so that it was expressed in a way that their expression did not detract from what they were trying to say. And this could happen during the author's life, or indeed posthumously, where you try to collect and put together an author's works or an author's teaching so that they wouldn't be lost with the death of the author. And that's what I would think is going on in these letters. That's very much what Peter is said to have done for Jesus. That is, he took the teaching of Jesus and he proclaimed it, and then Mark comes along and does it for Peter. He takes Peter's oral message and he writes it down. At least that's what Papias tells us had happened. Now, all these letters share a common Greco-Roman background. They are written in good Greek. What I would say is good, but not university level. There's a bit of a difference there. They're not even the same style of Greek, as we will see again as we move through them. All the letters assume Greco-Roman culture. James is written to those in the diaspora, as he says, scattered abroad in some translations, who can understand his allusions to Greek philosophy. Now, certainly there was some Greek philosophy which was taught in Jerusalem as well, but he expects even subtle allusions to be picked up because that was what would be in the air out there in the scattered communities. First Peter is written to former Gentiles who live in Asia Minor, and he tells you about them. Second Peter is written about people with some Epicurean influence, Epicureanism being a Greek philosophy of the time, and uses terminology drawn from Greek mythology. He refers, for instance, to the fallen angels being in Tartarus, which is where in Greek mythology the Titans were imprisoned, and so forth. They all also have a common theology. Besides the fact that they're all Christians, so they all believe in Jesus, they all believe in one God, the creator of heaven and earth. They all believe that this God is sovereign, and they believe that this God is involved in the rescue of human beings, which means that they know that human beings need rescue. They have a similar Christology, not identical. They emphasize different points. But when they think about Jesus and who he is as anointed king, all focus on him as the anointed one, as the Christ. One of my pet peeves with biblical translations is that we have transliterated the word Christos or Christ rather than translated it as anointed one. But you will pardon me, my pet peeves. I think we should get into translating some of these terms so that we pick up their meaning. All the longer letters refer to his return to rule or the revelation of his rule. Revelation being 1 Peter's language, return being, for instance, James and 2 Peter's language. All view him as the one who will judge. And 1 Peter is the one letter referencing the passion. The others don't refer to the passion. And 1 Peter notes that Jesus' role is as that of a shepherd, as well as the one who died for the sheep. Now, only 2 Peter refers to Jesus as divine.